Good morning. Hare Krishna. This is a bittersweet day for us because we have to leave tomorrow to go back to the United States. I mean, it's not that we have to, but we kind of do. And it's been such a heartfelt experience being here with all of you. We're really overwhelmed by the love and hospitality that you've extended to myself and my wife, Nirakula Devi Dasi. And we feel part of the family here. At the same time, we're in awe of all that you're doing here from top to bottom. Everything so done with such precision and thoughtfulness and organization. And I just wanted to remind you that this is a mighty yatra. From London to every corner of the UK, I'm finding that there's such a powerful spirit here. What to speak of? There's a kind of elegance to the way that you do things. The deities are beautiful, the way the temples arrange, the aesthetic here. So thank you very much for being such surrendered souls in Lord Chaitanya's movement. You're having an impact on the whole world by what you're doing. And we're extremely grateful to be able to poke our nose in here and take advantage of your exalted association. Thank you. Vancha kalpata vrishcha kripa sandave vacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo. Today, we're continuing our perpetual reading of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we're in the chapter entitled The Beda Kirtan Pastimes, taking up at a text number that we're at Madhya 11. And the verse, the text today, what are the texts today? 53 to 57. So I'll read through until we get to 57 and then we can do it together. Tatapi kaya ami ak upai e upai kar prabhu dekhibhe jahai. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then suggested there is one means by which you can directly see him. This is by context. Prataparudra Maharaj has expressed his deep desire to see, to have the association of, to serve directly Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, have his darshan. And Mahaprabhu has so far refused, based on the external etiquette of a sannyasi, not to come in contact with a materialistic person, of which the king is the epitome, the very emblem of materialism. 54. Rat yatra dine prabhu shab bhaktaloy loya. Rat age nitto kari bhena prema bishta hoy. On the day of the car festival, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will dance before the deity in great ecstatic love. 55. Prima veshe pushpo dhyane karibhena pravesh shekale akale tumi chadi raja besh. On that Rath Yatra festival day, after dancing before the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will enter the Gudnicha garden. At that time, you should go there alone, without your royal dress. 56. Krishna Rash Panchadhyaya Karita Patanam Akale Jai Prabhu Mahaprabhura Daribe Charano. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enters the Gunicha garden, you should also go there and read the 5 chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam about Lord Krishna's dancing with the gopis. In this way, you can catch hold of the Lord's lotus feet. And 57. Bhaya jnana nahishe kali krishna nam shuni alingano karipena tomai vaishnava jani. Are there any Bengalis in here? Okay. Do you want to give her the microphone? Let's hear this in Bengali. It's like on an airplane when they call for a doctor. Give me a Bengali. Okay, go ahead.
Hare Krishna. Bacho gana nahi she kali Krishna nam shuni alingan kori ben tomai Vaishnava jani.
Bhaya jnana nahi she kali Krishna nam shuni alingan kori ben tomai Vaishnava jani. Word for word. Bhaya jnan nahi. Without external consciousness. She kale. At that time. Krishna nam shuni. By hearing the holy name of Lord Krishna. Alingana karibhina. He will embrace. Tomai. You. Vaishnava jani. Taking you to be a Vaishnava. Translation, Lord Sri Krishna, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be in a mood of ecstatic love without external consciousness. At that time, as you recite those chapters from Srimad Bhagavatam, he will embrace you, knowing you to be a pure Vaishnava. Let's say together, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be in a mood of ecstatic love without external consciousness. At that time, as you recite those chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam, he will embrace you, knowing you to be a pure Vaishnava. Purport. A Vaishnava. A Vaishnav is always ready to help another Vaishnav progress toward realization of the Absolute Truth. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya could understand the king's position as a pure Vaishnav. The king was always thinking of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Bhattacharya wanted to help him approach the Lord. A Vaishnav is always compassionate, especially when he sees a prospective devotee, very determined, Dhritavrata. Consequently, the Bhattacharya was ready to help the king. Om Ajnanatimanandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Nina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishnam Stapitam Nena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Sha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Bitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvatutam Parijanas Tam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Lord's intention for living entities in the material world, as we talked about over the last couple of days, well, it depends where you were, was to deliver the souls who have been enraptured in Maya since a time immemorial and give them opportunity to go back to Godhead. At the beginning of the prayers of personified Vedas, Sri Gurudev Goswami mentions that there are two purposes to the creation. One is to accommodate those who wish to try to enjoy separately from the Lord. And the other is to give full facility for those who wish to go back home, back to Godhead, the opportunity to do so. The Lord's intention isn't that the souls should suffer in the material world. Rather, he's created all living beings for his own enjoyment, in the sense that his enjoyment comes from rasa, or his relationship with every living being, for all unlimited souls. And because his enjoyment is unlimited, there's no end to the number of living beings that he wants to have a relationship with. Of course, we all have a relationship with Krishna, but in the material world, that relationship is temporarily obscured for us. Krishna knows who we are, and he's always with us, with every soul. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hrida shera juna tishtiti brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudrani maya. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that wherever the soul wanders, I stay with him. And of course, we know the other verses from the Bhagavad Gita, in which Krishna says that I'm attentive to the soul's desire to know me and immediately give knowledge and direction and make arrangements for such a soul that wants to know me, all facility. In fact, he's so eager to help us. Ananyas chintayantomam yejana paripasate tesham nityabdyuktanam yoga kshemam mahamyaham. He says that mahami means for those who do come into Krishna consciousness and whose preoccupation is to think of Krishna, serve Krishna, manmana bhavamad bhakto, then he says, then I personally take care of him. In a purport we found in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada mentions that for those who don't have time to take care of themselves because they're busy serving Krishna, Krishna personally comes, lends his hand, not indirectly through material nature, but personally. He makes sure that such a soul has all facility. And there's an eternal festival going on in the spiritual world, the enjoyment of the relationship between Krishna and his devotees. And one of the greatest relationships is with Krishna and his devotees who have come to the material world to give facility to others to come back to him. In the Gita, in fact, he says that such persons who dedicate their lives to teaching those who can potentially become devotees. Of course, anyone can become, is potentially a devotee and can reawaken. But Krishna says some are more likely to awaken because of their previous association. Yesham tvantakatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva mohanir mukta vajantimam dridavrta. That's also mentioned in this verse. The dridavrta means when somebody's very determined to become a devotee. Where does that come from? How does it awaken in somebody? Because there's been some previous connection with devotees. There's been some sadhu sangha somewhere, or even what's called a jnata sukriti. Someone has served someone in devotional service. Like the other day, I may have mentioned in this class, but it's stuck in my mind, when we were out going door to door, there was a man very busily doing some hard labor on somebody's yard, some construction work, and he was cleaning up. And I thought, perfect opportunity, because he's already outside, therefore he's fair game. And besides that, we'd had good success with talking to people doing construction outside. And I approached him, and he let me know immediately that he didn't have time, and that he was not interested in whatever it is we're peddling. And I respected him, as it's dictated by the Srimad Bhagavatam. Ishvare taradineshu balisheshu dusatsucha prema maitri kripopeksha yakaroti samadhyam maha. Those who are going out and about to find those who have some potential to awaken to Krishna consciousness, or like they're becoming, as we've been talking, ripe fruits. They're obviously ready to come off the tree. In fact, by nature's arrangement, the very ripest fruits just fall off by themselves. But if they're not quite ripe, and the gardener or the fruit collector comes around and just gives them a little nudge, they come off. In any case, and in the verse, Ishvare taradineshu, these are the guidelines for those who would go out in the world and do the Lord's work of finding people who are ripe fruits and bringing them to Krishna. And that is that if they are what's called balisheshu, they're open, they're innocent. Bali means like a child. And then you should kripa, you should give as much mercy as possible, as much as possible. Make all arrangements for such a person. And dvishatsuchar, and if somebody is not ripe, means that they're dvishatsu, they don't like you approaching them, then you should be upeksha. That means back off. And not just back off. In the commentaries, when you read that purport, you'll find something very charming that one of our acharyas, Jiva Goswami, says. You should not try to engage them because they'll become more inimical, but you should pray for them and also pray for a way that you could engage them at another time. In a similar vein, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to see Prakashananda Saraswati, he creates an atmosphere in which Prakashananda himself, a Pakamayavadi, gets some mercy, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, knowing that he's going into a den of Mayavadis, sits down very humbly in the lowest place in the whole room at the house of the Brahmana, and that invokes and of course he shows his effulgence too, that helps. The sannyasi saw that, and Prakashananda himself said, no, please come and sit with us. And he put his hand out, and Prabhupada said, by putting his hand out to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had engineered this situation, that Prakashananda had received agyata sukriti. He just had felt some good feeling towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had not studied the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I guess it wasn't written yet. And he didn't know what he was doing, but he did feel goodwill, and then he got the qualification to hear more from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which he did, and he was converted. And Prabhupada also mentions there in a very important purport that people are already inimical. He said, don't make them more inimical. So when we approach and somebody's not interested, the preaching technique for such people is to honor them and move on. Don't be passive aggressive and say, you know, well, anyway. Or disrespect them, even subtly. Honor them, but move away. Upeksha. Don't try to engage. And in the case of the construction man, I moved away from him very quickly, honored him when we went on with our business. And when we walked around his construction area and went to another house, he thought of doing a little service by calling out to us that there was nobody home. Yeah, it's a small thing, but he knew there was nobody home there, and somehow he didn't want us to waste our time. And I thought, yeah, that was his service. He had some little potential there. And if we follow the Shastra, and as we move about the world to infuse those who are open with as much mercy as possible, and then honor those who are not interested yet, they'll feel some respect in their heart and they'll be able to do more service. And this situation in Jagannath Puri is such a sweet pastime. We find the ways in which we become closer to the Lord through the mercy of the devotees. And Prataparudra Maharaj, in his awkward situation of being a pure devotee, but then being in the position of a king who the Lord rejected. And then there was advocacy by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who told the king, you know, he's a good devotee. But then what pushed it way farther was when Ramananda Roy came after he had given up his governorship just to come and be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, Prataparudra Maharaj granted him a full pension and said, yeah, you can quit if you're going to, because the cause he felt was so important to come and serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That was what the king's intention was also. He gave Ramananda Roy a full pension to quit his job and come and serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Ramananda Roy came in to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he said, oh, Prataparudra, yes, he's really good. And then that's when the Lord's heart started to change. What's more, there were reports, the devotees were reporting to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said that the king doesn't care for his kingdom anymore if he can't have your association. This is the Dhritavrta. This is the most important aspect of Krishna consciousness. It's like they say in Weight Watchers, they have a big sign. You know what Weight Watchers is? Do you have that here in England? No? Yes? You know what it is? Okay. It's a place where people can go and get on a program to lose weight. Yeah. And they have a big banner across the front of the room. It says, you gotta wanna. You gotta wanna. As they give you all these schedules, say, this is how many calories this is, try to eat more from this food group and not from that, and et cetera, et cetera. But you gotta wanna. Krishna bhakti ras bhavitomanhi kriyatam yadi kritopi labhyate tata laulyam ekalam janmakoti sukritirna labhyate. Rupa Goswami gives this all-important verse about you gotta wanna, which is that if you really want Krishna, you have to be dhritavrta. It has to be your main thing, not a thing. Like when we were inviting lots of people to come to programs through this online invitation system where meetup.com, could put it out that they're having a spiritual session. We get lots of people coming who thought Krishna consciousness was a cool thing and that Krishna was a thing. But those who come to this point of Dhritavrta, they say Krishna is the thing. Vahunam jamanamante jnanavamam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti is nothing else. Samahatma sadurlava. These are the rare souls. And Pratapajara Maharaj had that. And then there's ways in which the devotees are thinking how to make facility for Pratapajara Maharaj to come closer to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What to speak of Pratapajara Maharaj, who's a king and was also deeply devoted. There was Kala Krishna Das, who had been a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and had run off with a bunch of hippies and gotten entangled. You know, from the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had been enticed to jump in a VW bus and go to some hippie thing. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman, Shri Shri Gorni Tai. Ki Jai. And when he came home and Mahaprabhu dismissed him from his service, then Nityananda Prabhu and several others conspired to bring him back. The devotees do that. And they're always looking for ways to engage everyone in Krishna's service. When in the 1970s, book distribution was picking up, especially around circa, around mean circa, so I won't use them both. Circa 1973, there was a precipitous rise in book distribution. Just the conditions were all coming together where it was ready to take off. And one of the leaders of book distribution, who was the head of the BBT in Los Angeles at the time, was giving very pointed classes related to Chaitanya Charitamrita and these sections about the ways in which devotees want to bring others closer. And then, as Prabhupada had done, Prabhupada commissioned paintings where there was the Rasa Lila and the Harinam Sankirtan in one picture, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then, of course, we know from the outset of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anarpita Charim Chirat Karani Vatirna Kalao Samarpayitam Vinatojwararasam Subhakti Shriyam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's innermost desire was Krishna's innermost desire, which is he's thinking, I want to give this to everybody. And a lot of people later after Mahaprabhu's appearance saying, you're going to give this now in Kali Yuga? It's just an odd juxtaposition when people in Kali Yuga are satisfied with a little fast food, a little screen to look at, no philosophy to speak of, no logic to speak of, and then you're going to give the Ujjvala Rasa, the highest thing. You know, others, Prabodhananda Saraswati, for instance, is saying, this is unheard of. Even amongst the greatest scholars, Tata Paramahamsana Muninama Malatmanam Bhakti Yoga Pranantam. Kunti Devi says, this is for the Paramahamsas, what you're giving, what Krishna is giving. And now it's being given in Kali Yuga to everybody. And this person was then bringing all these points to bear and saying, book distribution, going out into public and meeting people for the purpose of bringing them to Krishna. That's related to not just Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, but because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes is like a reversible jacket. You know, on one side, you know, reversible jacket, you can wear it either way. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you reverse it, then you have Radha Krishna Leela. And as we hear in the song, Gaurang Gera Duti Para, you dive into, Narottam Das Thakura says, you dive into the ocean of the Sankirtan movement and you come out on the shore of the Radha Krishna Leela. So he was preaching, was this very enthusiastic devotee, that book distribution is in the mood of the gopis. You see how you could get there? You'd have to show your work on paper, like they say in a math class, I'm going to see your work. You'd show it in the margins. Do they still do that? You don't just give the answer because you could have looked it up on ChatGPT, but you have to show that you did the work. So devotees wanted to know, is this accurate? And Prabhupada confirmed. He said, yes, this is an accurate understanding. This is the mood of the gopis. The mood of all the great devotees is to distribute the mercy of Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come specifically for the distribution of the Ujjala Rasa to everybody in the Kali Yuga. Mayamrigam Dayita Yipsa Anvadava. It's mentioned by Karbhajana Muni that he ran after people to give them this process, even if they were not that interested. So Prabhupada confirmed, yes, this is the mood of the gopis, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the mood of the gopis and so forth. So this verse leads up to the meeting of Pratapurja Maharaj and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And also in that meeting, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had recommended that Pratapurja Maharaj put on Vaishnava dress, which at the time was simple white cloth and no ornaments, no crown, obviously, some tilak, ujjala, urvapundra, and so forth. And he said, yeah, you can go to him at a specific time when he's resting in between the Rath Yatra festival. And then he gave him the ultimate kind of, code to get in, password, as it chant these verses. And the verse that's mentioned from that section of the Bhagavatam that especially caught the attention of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Tavakatamritam Taptajivanam Kavibiriditam Kalmashapaham Shravanamangalam Srimaratatam Bhuvigarnantiye Buddhidajana. This verse is really an anthem for the Sankirtan devotees, which is this Tavakatam Ritam, the nectar of the pastimes of Krishna. Taptajivanam, that is the way that one can overcome the burning sensation of the material world. Samsara dhava nadalita loka. There's a way we're being burned in the forest fire of the material life. And then says, Kavibhir iditam kalmashapaham, that the great kavis, those who are highly learned, they distribute this. Shravana mangalam, and by hearing it, it creates auspiciousness in the life of the living being. Shravana mangalam, srimadatatam, bhuvigrinantiye buddhidajana. Buddhidajana means, da means to give something in charity. So the person who does this, and this is attributed to Srimati Radharani, the gopis who are singing these songs, they're saying the person who's engaged in this kind of charity, giving out the Bhagavatam, the Shravana Mangalam, the supreme transcendental sound vibration that's glorifying Krishna, these are the most munificent of all. Those who venture out into the world to give this to everybody, to broadcast it so everybody can hear it. Town to town, shop to shop, house to house, street to street, and so forth. That's when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially was aroused from his semi-conscious. He was in a blissful state, and he came to external consciousness enough to embrace Pratapurja Maharaj and said, you are the most magnificent. You've done so much for me, he said. I can never repay you for giving me these verses. So we can understand from the esoterics of the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, what is the intention of the Lord? What is it that touches his heart? And where is his mind and heart going. And if we can then find the ways in which to emulate the great souls and follow in their footsteps, which we do have, which is to distribute Srimad Bhagavatam to others and the other transcendental literatures, we become dear to the Lord by dint of that practice. It's very high sadhana, and it's a process through which we endear ourselves to Krishna. What to speak of, we receive the benediction of seeing for ourselves the potency of the literature, of the sound vibration, which is brought into, you know, it's weaponized in the form of books. It's sound vibration from the spiritual world, tadvag visargo janataga viplavo, but it's put into a book form. So, no, it's not going to hurt you. Take it, little fella. You know, he takes it in his house like, Hare Krishna. So many people, they're tatasta, so it means they're open to suggestion. It's like, no, go ahead, take it. You know, finally they take it, and I didn't know that it would change my whole life. They didn't know that. How could they know? Until they cross over to the other side. So we, in the Sankirtan movement, who have this opportunity to organize around the principle of distributing this to other people and looking out into the world. This is what madhyamas do. They're always looking. They're scanning the world constantly. And like, where is that spark that I can fan? They're looking for the soul that's a little open. Just like when we go in the street. We're in Wembley yesterday. Is that what it's called? Wembley, a little arena of sacrifice called Wembley. 60 devotees out there. And we're looking, we're scanning the crowd. Of course, we try to encourage them a little bit by, you know, like, I'm here. They know we're there. But they'll look over and they'll, if you can see the ones that are developing drita vrata, they have this sense that, you know, I want something more. They have already some impetus for it. They'll look and they'll smile, or they'll even come over on their own, or they'll stop and they'll be submissive. And that's what the madhyamas do. They're looking through the whole world all the time. In fact, those who are accustomed to doing this, they're looking out the car window, and they're, that guy would have taken a book. I should have pulled over. They're looking at a group of stores and they're thinking, I should have gone in there. I could feel it. I know they're in there. They take a set of Bhagavatams. And that's the preoccupation of the Madhyama Adhikari. And then the Madhyama Adhikari comes home and reads the Bhagavatam and listens to it and says, oh, everyone has to have this. They want to expand that flow out into the world, because the material world is so crass and abrasive. It's a way of profaning the soul. The way everything's set up is just to profane the soul. Is that the dignity of the soul? The society robs the soul of its eternal dignity as being an eternal servitor of Krishna, and we want to restore that. And we actually have a way to do it. It's very practical. You have books in a box. You just take them out, and then you develop the courage to do what others have done, which is to go out and just make friends with people and try to find those who have even a little spark, one molecule of Drita Vrata, and then offer them an opportunity to take that. And then, of course, we invite them to come back. We were singing last night, Radha Krishna Bolo Shange Cholo E Matra Bika Chai. We're beggars, yes, we are beggars. But what are we begging? Just come with us and chant Hare Krishna. That's all we're asking, says Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, buddhidajana, you become the greatest charity giver by following in the footsteps of great souls who have given this out, and we have the right message, we have the right mantras, and it's at the right time. So now we'll take a few reflections or questions in order to expand the conversation. And we'll give £100 for anybody who can ask a bad question. But I'll see if I have it first. Okay. Let's discuss. Yes, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. This is a little bit related to what you were talking about earlier at the manor. We had like a temple meeting. I was able to pop in for 3 seconds, but what really puzzled me is what you said. But it is related to what you were talking about, the relationship, the intention, and that Krishna wants every soul to, you know, to have that relationship with every soul. So I'm thinking numbers. We are still relatively quite a small movement, ISKCON and Gaudiya Vaishnavas. What you said that Srila Prabhupada, you were talking in relationship to, it was about, Srila Prabhupada said that why there's somebody asking why there's so many different religions, and Srila Prabhupada answered, it's not different, it's variety. And I always have this, I don't know if it's a correct understanding, so I would like you to correct me. Are we, when we go out there and talk about Krishna, do we always want them to be ISKCON devotees, or is it, do we respect the fact that they already follow a spiritual path that they're happy with? And is that something that will take them back to Godhead? So, because talking about going back to Godhead as a lots of many different souls, do we all become, you know, Vaishnavas with Tilak, or is it just variety of different people going back to Godhead in different ways?
Thank you. Yeah, such an important question. Thank you for posing it. We respect all. We respect wherever we see the impetus to worship God, we show respect. In fact, this was the conclusion of the sages at Naimasharanya, who are discussing what is the way to do the greatest good to all people of the world. And Suta Goswami then summarizes it for them at the very beginning. Savai pum sam paro dharmo, yato bhaktirad hoksaje, ahai tukiya pratiyata, yayatma supersedati. This is what's known as the gold standard. As Prabhupada says, gold is gold. You say, well, this is Thai gold, and this is German gold. And then you say, yeah, well, whatever. I just want to know, how pure is it? That's what you ask. And that's what the sages concluded. Savai pum samparo dharmo yato bhaktira hoksaje. Ahai tu ki apradita means that there's, it just goes. It goes to God. There's not some condition. Contingencies. You know, contingencies. I'll do it if I get this in return. And if not, then nah, I don't believe in God anymore. But spontaneous love flows. And then the other one is haitukiya pratiyata. It's uninterrupted. In other words, it's so nice, there's no reason to do anything else. So that's our standard when we're introducing it to people all over the world. Regarding the second part of your question, do you need to wear tilak and be a Vaishnav to go back to Godhead? When Jayananda Prabhu left the world in 1977, and devotees, he probably wrote a letter, bereavement letter, and letter of appreciation of his service, and he said that if you were thinking of Krishna when you left, then you went back to Godhead. If not, then you will take birth in a higher planetary system, and then you'll take birth in a family of very devoted souls, and you'll have every opportunity to then complete your journey going back to Godhead. It's a science, and Krishna mentions this science in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is so universally appreciated because Krishna presents the science of consciousness. Yanti deva vrta devan pitar yanti pratirvrta bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti mam yajino pimam, which means you're free to move about the cosmos, little jiva, you can go wherever you like. And if your impetus is to, if you have it in your heart to go live with your ancestors, who'd want to do that? I have no idea. But if that's what's in your heart, and it's there, we can see in Puruva and other stories in the Bhagavatam, it's like, oh no, I have to be with Urvashi, and you know, there all kinds of pujas and worship. That these are all possible in the heart of a jiva, who's part and parcel of God in the material world, and they'll want to go a certain place. So Krishna says, that's where you'll go, and the junction when that's all settled up is at the time when you leave your body. Yung, Krishna says, yung vapi, whatever you think of, the material nature is all accommodating. It will accommodate you. And if you don't want anything else but God, then you'll get that too. Now here comes the rub. You have to know who God is. And if you don't have any idea, then you've got more work to do. And Prabhupada brings this up in his conversation with the venerable Yogi Bhajan, who invited Prabhupada to a conference of many different kinds of spiritualists, most of them Mayavadis, in which he said, we'll all come together and merge, we'll be together and merge together. And Prabhupada said, they will never. You can write it in your book. And the thrust of Prabhupada's conversation at that point was, throughout the conversation, was to get Yogi Bhajan Prabhu to commit to a conception of God, which he would not do, because he wanted to be so ecumenical as to say that, well, anybody can believe in any conception of God. And Prabhupada say, well, name one. What is that conception of God? And he wouldn't commit. And in fact, when he mentioned that in the Granth Sahib there was mention of Govinda, then Prabhupada said, then you take that. And you're like, no, not even that. So there is a way in which the Yene Ravindaksha Vamuktavaninas Toyasta Bhava Ravashuddha Buriya Aruya Krishna Paramparam Tata Patantyato Nadrita Yushmarangraya. Bhagavatam doesn't cheat us. It says, unless you have a very clear idea of who God is, and he's a person, we can logically prove that he's a person. If you can't come to that conception, doesn't matter what religion you are, then you'll be left with a lower conception, so much so that you'll be reattracted to the variety of the material world, and you'll look at other persons here like, I don't know, Tom Cruise, or who's that singer? What's her name? Taylor Swift. You'll have to go to a Taylor Swift concert if you don't get Krishna, because you need to hear somebody singing and you need the eyes. So we have Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu Kalpa Vriksha Lakshavrita. You couldn't be more specific. And it was like, don't be so specific. And it's like, then you be specific. That was Prabhupada's point to Yogi Bhajan. Prabhupada would say, we have Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu Kalpa Vriksha Lakshavriteshu Surabhira Bipalayantam. He's got pets, cows. Like, if you're being so specific about God, it's like, fine, then you be specific. You say, who's your conception of God? It's like, we don't really have one. Like, then Prabhupada said, then take this one. And this is not being condescending. It's not, it just is the way it is. We are persons, and God is a person. And unless we have a relationship with him, then whatever tenuous relationship we have with anyone in the material world, we'll lose that. And so it's a great service, actually, to give people specificity. It's scary because that's what everybody's afraid of in the material world. Krishna says, Vitaraga Bhaya Krodha. Everyone's freaked out by the idea that we might have a personal relationship with God. And the beauty of Gaudiya Vaishnavism is we come in and say, no, it's possible. First, you can develop relationship with the devotees and learn to trust them. Find out there is a place where you can trust somebody. It's very hard because we're so used to being misused, or I misplaced trust. But if we can get that, and then you can start opening your heart to the topics of Krishna, then Krishna reveals himself more and more, and then we have that conception. So we respect all, and we want everyone on their level. But we have no misconception about the fact that In fact, we accommodate. Vedanti tat tattva vidas tattvam nyajjanam advayam. God, we do say, there's one God, advaya gyan tattva. He has variety within that. But it's not sustainable. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. Not sustainable at the level of Brahman or Paramatma. Because our relationship isn't thick enough. At Paramatma, we're just asking, Daddy, give me this. Daddy, give me that. And, you know, that's our relationship with God is like a little child. It hasn't matured yet into the point where, you know, as an adult, the child starts to think, oh, my parents have done so much for me. How can I serve them? Minus that, you don't have much. So it's a great service to the world to distribute the personal conception and even to write about it. You'll notice if you're preaching, that's where the rubber meets the road. You can say peace of mind. You could say we're all good, stress-free. Everyone's fine, right? Still good? We're all good. And then you say, God's a person. What? Like, what kind of person is he? Is he better than me? He's not better than me, is he? How can he be a person? I'm the only person. And so on and so forth. So, you know, that's... But within that, it's not that there's some restriction. The spiritual world's unlimited. Bhavayat yeshab satvena lokanvai lokabhavana lilavataratunurato devatiriyanaradishu. Even the Lord... The Lord, just as much as he gives variety in this world, 8,400,000 species of life, that ought to be enough, don't you think, to try out? If he only gave you 10 tries, you know, you can be an aardvark, you can be a worm. You're like, no, there's only 8 left. And they're like, that wasn't enough. I don't know if I could have been happy if I was maybe a mongoose, you know. I want to kill snakes. But he gives you 8,400,000 species in the material world to try it out and see how you like it. And then you get end of all the rides and it's like, I didn't like it. What about the spiritual world? The material world's limited. The spiritual world's unlimited. There's unlimited relationships with God. So once we come, we cross the threshold and we embrace God as a person, he's willing to offer us himself in any way that we like. There's no restriction there. And you can read in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, the devotees who become enamored of Krishna in any of the incarnations that he comes in the material world to save the living entities, including the vegetable tribes. The devotees who have appreciated him that and who attain sarupya mukti, they also take on a form like that out of appreciation for the Lord. So you may say, that's wild. Yeah, that's because there's no end to it, to the ways that you can worship God and the ways that he'll accommodate, just as he's accommodating the material world. Okay. Yes. Rasika Roy.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your wonderful class. A question that often comes up or a debate that we have is Prabhupada said that when we're distributing books, we should do it in such a way that we're not agitating the public. At the same time, there's got to be some push from our side because they don't go out that day expecting to receive a book. So how do we find that balance?
Well, it's always an art. When you see somebody do something artfully, you go, like, how did they do that? Because they've done it so many times and they're so tuned into it that they just naturally respond in the right way. And when we go out into public, I mention it as a high sadhana, there's a way in which we're testing ourselves. It's like in the 60s, 70s, maybe 80s, 90s, I don't know, biofeedback. Have you ever heard of that? It's a machine you can hook up to, takes all your bio data And you can watch the machine and you can see how it's responding to your moods. And you can then learn to control your emotions and thereafter, subsequently, all the rhythms of your body are connected to the way you're thinking. Mind and body are one thing. And in a similar way, we get instructions from Krishna and all the acharyas, Vacho Vega, Manasa Krodha Vegam, and the ways in which Krishna talks about how to be a kind friend to all living beings and to not become your enemy's enemy and to be tolerant and so forth. You know the last verses in the 12th chapter of the Gita? Right? And so then when we go out into the public and we're presenting Krishna consciousness, that's our biofeedback machine. Because when you present to somebody, if you have anything in your heart other than goodwill for them and the sense that you want to serve them and that you're a humble servant of the servant of the servant, then they're the lights on the biofeedback machine that come on. Like if you think you're better than them because you joined an organization somewhere and you were given a position or something like anything like that, then they'll give you back inordinately a kind of feedback that will then show you that then you did it wrong. I need to tune my heart. So one should be trinada pi sunichena, toro api suhishuna, amanina amanadena, kirtaniya sadar hari. We should learn how to show respect to all living beings and not expect anything in return. That you can do at home. You can do in the temple, in the ashram, and you can feel free to do it all day long in public too when you're distributing Krishna consciousness. And you'll get refinement in that process. It's one of the reasons that going out and meeting dozens, hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, millions of people over a lifetime, one after another, and interacting with them in a way that you're coming to the point where you're supposed to come to of trying to serve them. It's a refining process. And Prabhupada said everyone should learn that art. So when we meet people, we want to be very sensitive. And there's ways in which I've been talking about over the last few days of a scale to 1 to 10. And if you look out into people's eyes and their countenances, you can see if they're 1 to 5. At 5, just all the way up to 5, they won't stop on their own. 5.1, maybe a little open, tiny opening. 5.2, 5.5, 7.5. They won't go away even if you tell them to get lost. They'll follow you to your car. Someone came yesterday. Who was it who sold the Bhagavatam set? Yeah, but who sold the set? Keshava Gokulananda Prabhu met this. I just was trying to think of the word for him. He's a natural devotee. His name's Bhagavan. And he's from Mathura, a young man. And he immediately bought a Bhagavatam set. And then, you know, when I met him, I said, you're one of us. You should just do this. And he just joined us for the rest of the day. And he followed us to the car. And he's like, yeah, I'm one of you. I want to be part of this. That's, you know, you're getting up into the eights and nines there. They're out there. And then all the fives, then there's fours, threes, twos, and ones. So in the beginning, we have to have some scale, and we have to remember the Shastra. Don't agitate people's minds. They're already agitated. Be nice. Be a kind friend. Be a servant. Be a sadhu. Be a sadvi. And when you go out there, interact with people in ways where you leave them with a good impression. If you keep that in mind, and then they're out of five, and you want to push them harder, and then they snap at you or something like that, then you can see, okay, I'll wait next time for a 5.2 before I exert that much pressure. So you have to learn that. Just like a surgeon, It's very careful. No extra pressure, no under pressure. Everything has to be done just right. So that's what we're doing. We're dealing with surgery, and it can't be blunt instrument surgery. It should be, we should also be sterilized. You know, you should chant your rounds. If you don't chant your rounds, then you go out and think, how much money am I going to collect today? And how am I going to beat somebody else? Then you may, you know, stab somebody in the eye with your little scalpel, because your intention is not tuned properly. Yes. We'll give you a microphone in 7 seconds or less. Or your money back.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. My question's a little bit common, but I still don't quite understand the answer in terms of the relationship between piety and people and devotional service. So does everyone that we meet, do they have previous piety, or do they gain piety just by coming in contact with Prabhupada's books? And one add-on is, if someone does snap at us or become annoyed, what is the effect of that for them or for us?
That was one question with two parts and then a separate question. And they're all good questions. Thank you for asking. Very important. Regarding punya, it is defined in various ways. And you'll find this in Prabhupada's, in a purport Prabhupada writes about bhakti unmukhi sukriti. This is a special kind of sukriti, which is that one has come in contact with devotees. It's also in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Rupa Goswami says those who have a natural attraction for Krishna consciousness in this lifetime have had previous association with sadhus, because that's where it comes from. And then there's sukriti, which qualifies somebody for impersonal realization. And then there's sukriti that gives one an opportunity to become successful materially in the material world. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur distinguishes between these. And the word punya is also used in the Bhagavatam, in the story of Agasura. Itam satam brahma sakana bhutya dasyam gatanam paradaivatena mayashitanam naradarakena sakam vrijaru krita punya punja. This is Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti that is mentioned by Shukadeva Goswami, who says that the cowherd boys who are associating with Krishna, they have amassed this kind of Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti. And in the Gita, Krishna says, Yesham tvantakatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva mohanirmukta bachanti mam dridavrata. Those who are more in the mode of goodness have a little more opportunity. And this isn't Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti, but referring to goodness, which is the part of the Mahatattva, we heard it from the Bhagavatam the other day, that allows one some clarity. As in, Partiva Dharano Dumas Tasmad Agnis Trayimayaha Tamasasturajas Tasmat Sattvam Yad Brahmadarshanam. If somebody is a little more in Sattva Guna, then Sattvam Yad Brahmadarshanam, they have more of a tendency to understand the difference between matter and spirit. And from that position, they can also be more ripe to take to Krishna consciousness. So these are different definitions of sukriti. And then as to your second question, which I'll answer briefly, which was, what happens when people become annoyed? Well, one thing is, I don't want to make everyone neurotic, because people get annoyed. And it's not the end of the world. You can always apologize to people if they do become annoyed. And sometimes people become annoyed even if you do apologize. Some people just don't like to see devotees there. It doesn't mean we give up our posture of we're representing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and my spiritual master told me to come here. And we shouldn't be belligerent, but we should also know who we are and what we're doing. And although we're gentle with every soul, and we're apologetic if we invade their space, and we should refine ourselves. We should also keep doing what we're doing. And what happens? Well, there's lots of anecdotal cases in which people have, you can find them around ISKCON. If you go mining for them, you'll find that somebody said, you know, I refused a devotee, I screamed at a devotee, and next thing I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Be careful. He said Hare Krishna. My old friend and god brother, Ruchi Das, when he was a little kid, he and his friends would ride by the ISKCON temple in Los Angeles and took exception to the dress and the Hare Krishna way. And so they threw rocks at the marquee and broke it. And then Keshava and his brother Karandar, who were big wrestler types, chased after them and caught them and threatened to pummel them. And then Ruchi joined. He said, if that's the way they are, I'm going to be part of this organization. So you don't know. When we mix it up with people everywhere, the circumstances may seem odd, and it's unpredictable how it's going to go. We have to do our part, and then don't become overly concerned if something doesn't go perfectly. Hare Krishna. So I would like to announce that the summer marathon starts on the 5th of July, and it goes to the 19th of July. Such demarcations in time are extremely beneficial for making advancement in devotional service, because, for instance, if you live in Maui, you know where that is? It's in Hawaii. You know that, where Hawaii is, right? Temperature doesn't change. Well, maybe 2 degrees between summer and winter. Maybe summer is at 74 degrees Fahrenheit and 72 in the winter time, but it's always the same. And I have friends who live there, and they say the problem here is you don't know if time is passing or not. Everything's so nice. And life goes on whether we make an endeavor or not. But if we put a time slot where we're going to say, I'm going to apply myself during this time between the 5th, for instance, of July and the 19th of July, I'll put extra focus into distributing books during that time, you can make a lot of advancement in a short amount of time. That's why we have things like Ekadashi, and we have Brahma Muhurta. That's the time in the day when you take as much advantage as possible. Kadashi, then you've got during the year, Kartik. You know, for 30 days you can do anything, right? Say yes. And then at your life, you have the end. Most people try to really push hard at the end. And so we have the summer marathon where everyone here can take advantage between the 5th and the 19th for an extra participation. What do you think? That all leads up to the London Rath Yatra, which is on July 21st. And considering the topics today and how it's interconnected, when you are able to remember why you're doing it, Tavakatamritam, and Rath Yatra is an esoteric, and as Prabhupada said, a feeling festival, you'll have some qualification to enter into the festival without just thinking it's a social event. You'll be able to remember it. It's good to study it also. Read the 13th chapter of the Chaitanya Madhya Lila and compare it to the 82nd chapter of the Bhagavatam, in which they're parallel chapters, as I was speaking about before, how there's a parallel between Radha Krishna Lila and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Lila. And there's a goal we can follow during this time. For the manner, would you like to know what the goal is? Okay, 5 people said yes. Everybody else? The 5 people, you're going to have to take the entire goal yourself. And you don't mind either, right? It's 15,000 books for the manor. 15,000 books only. Or we say at least 15,000 books. That's not much. So what I recommend, get them out, all the 15,000, put it in a place where you can see them, take them to your house, pile them up as many as you can in front of the refrigerator and tell your family, or put it in front of the, if you have a television, put it in front of the television, put all the cell phones in the bottom box and say, no opening this until all the books are gone. And just think in terms, divide it up. Say 15,000 divided by how many days? 14 days? How many books a day is that? 1,000 books a day only. That's nothing. Nothing. So at least 15,000 books. And then celebrate it when you come to the end and work together, all for one and one for all. Thank you so much for all you're doing here. Carrying on the tradition that Prabhupada started in such an amazing way, all of you. And don't mind any inconvenience in life. There'll be hundreds of thousands, but because of what you're doing, you're distinguishing yourselves as members of Lord Chaitanya's movement, who Lord Chaitanya will claim as his own. Om Tat Sat. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
His Grace Vaishnava Srila Prabhu Ki Jai. So if anybody who would like to get to know more about how they can get involved in the summer marathon, we have a table outside, so please come and see us. We need a lot of help. We like to pack books in advance. We like to arrange prasadam, and when we go out, we need devotees to come out. So please see us, and we'll be happy to give you more information on how you can get involved. And let's thank His Grace Vaishnava Srila Prabhu and Mother Nirakula. They've been with us for nearly 2 weeks, so let's show our appreciation. Thank you, everybody. Prasadam is served in the Haveli now at 9 o'clock, just as you leave. And if anybody has not had a chance to take the new book of His Grace Vaishnava Srila Prabhu, 4 questions is right out in the reception. Mateo Prabhu and Ansh Prabhu, they'll be outside. They will give you the book. Today, Maharaj is heading out, so he's not here to sign, but at least you can pick up the book. And next time when Maharaj comes, you can take the signature if you like. Thank you, everybody. Vancha kalpa tarubhyasya kripa sindhu vevacha patita nam pavnebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha anantakoti vaishnavindaki cha.